You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Hi, Hannies. It's Amir Yasai, and you're back for season two of The Take On. Hi, everyone. It's Amir Yas. Welcome back to The Take On. If you follow me on Instagram, you know Bravo TV is my love language. And another person who has that very much in common is Sasha Morfow from The Bravo Breakdown. I'm sure you're already following her. She's amazing. She's been on Watch What Happens Live. She's been on Bravo Chat Room. She just covers it all. And she's an actress as well. I was snooping a little bit on her Instagram. I was very impressed. With just the range, honey. Not only does she have the fits on point, she's got the acting range as well. I'm so impressed. She also does Patreon. I don't know when this girl sleeps. But Sasha, welcome to The Take On. How are you?
Oh, thank you so much. I'm so happy to be here. I'm so glad we finally got to connect.
Yes, me too. I went to follow you and then I saw that you were already following me. I was like, oh, I've been graced with her presence. So I followed back. It was awesome.
I love that feeling when you go to follow someone and you're like, oh, okay, we're already friends. I love it even more.
I know, right? I was like, I was impressed by you. And then you're following me. I was like, okay, I'm humbled. This is good. We're on the same page.
Yes.
Let's not waste any time and get into all of this Bravo mess. I'm so happy to finally have someone who's just as much a Bravoholic as I am. Let's just start right at the top. So I want to get into the Erica thing. If y'all follow me on TikTok, you know that I had the day from hell working for Erica. Again, I predicted that she's a mess and I was correct. So I would love to hear your opinion, Sasha. Did she know? Is she covering for, you know, this crazy Tom man? So hit me with your, your takes.
So I don't necessarily think that she knew the ins and outs of everything that was going on while it was going on. Mm-hmm. But I do feel that at this point, there is some covering that's going on and some sort of coaching because, you know, the way she sort of lays the stories out on the show, it sounds like I have sat down with this attorney and this is a story that we have decided that we are going to tell. This is the narrative that we're going to tell. And this is what we've created as Tom's defense. And I feel like there's definitely a lot of lying going on. And then I know everyone's like, oh, she knew about the victims. Like, you know, like Erica was just spending that man's money. That's the way I see it. Like, even if she maybe had an inclination that something shady was going on, She had no interest in knowing the details of it, which to me is just as bad as, you know, knowing all the details, knowing that something possibly could have been going on. So that's kind of where that's kind of my view on as much as her involvement throughout the entire situation.
I love that. I mean, you got to give people grace. I mean, I grew up in California and there's a lot of people that I know personally that are married to people with a lot of money and they sign the checks. They kind of trust their partner to not lead them astray. And like that happened with Teresa as well. Like there is a level of like, we got to give a little grace, but I think what's really messing her up. And I was talking to Buffy from A Married to Medicine about this. We were like, she needs to just not do the show because I think the show just makes you look bad. It's just making her look bad. She needs to just walk away from it.
Totally. And then the social media of it all, you know, that's really making her not look good. And it's just like, for me, it's like, even if she weren't on trial, her social media is still like troll. Like she still acts like a troll regardless. Like she needs a new social media manager, like regardless. You know what I mean?
Can she afford to pay for one?
Well, then there's that.
Right? I mean, I don't, as a former publicist, if any of my clients were in hot water, the first thing we did was deactivate their Instagram and Facebook and whatever. Mm-hmm. And we got them off social media because unfortunately nowadays people that get quote unquote canceled think they can kind of address their fans on Instagram. But like it always ends up falling flat. Like when she was, you know, the Game of Thrones, I was like, oh no, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Not great.
Yeah,
not
right. Great. Exactly. And then if she kind of got off the show too, like you said, like it would seem like she took it more seriously.
Exactly. She's kind of embarrassed, a little like, you know, the tail between your legs, like kind of walk away from it. Like even though obviously Teresa didn't know what was happening, she was kind of mortified. I guess I've been waiting for for Erica to be mortified. And I don't think she's mortified yet.
Absolutely. That's a part. And it's like, if she's a great actress, even if you aren't mortified and you don't care, girl, you better act up a storm. You better get those acting chops up and
let us think
you have some empathy. Drop a tear for us or something.
You listen,
somebody else.
Say it for the cheap seats, Sasha. I told clients all the time, I was like, I don't care if you really are sorry, put on a good show and you'll get your career back. The problem is nowadays people apologize for people getting offended. And I'm like, that's not really an apology. Yeah, it's not great. That kind of apology it always lands kind of on deaf ears. But
definitely.
I do want to ask you another element of this. Do you think she has the right to be upset with Kyle and Dorit the way they were kind of laughing? And then she did the whole, you know, the tweet, like, I'm watching this, you know, sad eyes. Do you think she should be upset with them? Or do you think that are they being two-faced? Like, what are your thoughts about them?
So my thing first of all, Kyle is not her friend. Kyle has been two-faced this entire season. So that scene is like, shouldn't even upset her. She really should just be upset with Kyle for the entire season if she claims to be her friend. Mm-hmm. So that would be like my only, so I don't think that Kyle necessarily did anything wrong. Like everything that they were saying is what everyone is thinking. Absolutely. But I would be pissed if that were supposed to be my friend. Like if my friend was laughing at me and making a joke of me and talking about me behind my back and just the way that she has been putting Sutton up to question her. Like I'd be like, look, if you're my friend, why are you the one that's saying, yes, Sutton, ask her these questions if you're supposed to be my friend. So I definitely think she has a right to be upset with Kyle as her friend. I don't think Kyle did anything wrong, but as a friend, I'd have been like, why are you instigating? Why are you like you and your husband and his friend all making fun of me on TV?
Exactly. And kind of going in on me. And I mean, again, for me, what's the scariest thing about this whole season is that PK is the voice of reason. That worries me.
I'm like, I know. Like, and this is coming from the guy that lost, what did he say? $2 billion?
No, I was like, what? I thought it was 500 million.
That's a lot of money.
Euros.
Ooh, right? That's like, a lot of money.
Oof, honey. And he was so casual about it.
I was like, I know. And he corrected because they were like, didn't you lost $1 billion? He was like, no, actually, it was $2 billion.
Oh my God, I just, I love that Harry Hamlin was like, I can't be a part of this. Like the women are crazy inside. The men are like cheats. I got to get out of here.
What did he say? Harry Hamlin looked over to Erica and he was like, life comes with this visits. What? He used a big word. It was like visitations.
He used a big SAT word.
I was like, come through, big word. Yes.
I don't know. She was good at that dinner party. She like seemed like she was mellow. She invited Sutton to the table. I was like, oh, Erica's on some happy pills tonight. Yeah, she was doing good. Yeah, I was surprised by that. But yeah, I mean, Erica. I mean, listen, again, I've said this over and over again. If she knew, she should rot in hell. If she didn't know, this is a story as old as time. I mean, women have been falling, and men have been falling for these. When you date someone rich, sometimes you trust them. And that's why I really believe in having joint accounts and not, you know, allowing people to funnel money. I had a friend in high school and his dad was going through a lawsuit and we went to withdraw money and there was $14 million in his account in high school.
Oh my gosh.
So that's a real thing that people do that. Like when there's a trial, they like will move money around and put it in their kids' accounts and their wives' accounts. So again, I don't know if she really knew and if she was being so controlled. So again, I don't know. We'll see at the reunion when she shows up, you know, dressed like a figure skater. So we'll see.
Right. It's like when you say, like, if she knew, fuck Erica. And if she didn't know, fuck Tom.
Yes, exactly. Absolutely. They're keeping this very close to the vest because my dad doesn't watch Bravo, but he's a real estate investor. And so I told him about Erica's house and we were going to go see it, but they wanted, you know, tax returns for 10 years. Like they don't want any Bravo fans coming into that house and videoing. They knew what I was up to.
Oh, yeah. Like, unless you're really trying to play and actually, you know, be interested in the home, get out of here. Yes. Don't even waste our time.
That's what happened. My real estate agent was like, let me talk to, you know, the owner. And I'm like, Tom? Like, I know who Tom is.
Right.
But that was fun. That was a fun moment for me. But yeah, let's.
He tried it.
I tried it. I really did. I was trying to get y'all that premier content from within the home. But, you know, the real estate gods were not on my side. So I tried. No. I tried. Yeah, I will get messy. Listen, I gave up my career as a publicist and I can be messy now. So it's good.
It's the best kind of messy, though.
Sasha, I want to ask you about, you know, the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills reunion. There's just been a lot of talk and there was that leaked video. You know, Kathy's obviously there. What are you looking forward to most for the reunion, aside from obviously Erica being confronted? Which I don't really think Andy's going to push her too much, but we'll see. But anything else that you're like super excited about?
You know, I would love to see Kyle be held accountable because this is not the first time that Kyle has kind of been the puppet master. Because people used to always say, oh, LVP is the mass manipulator. She throws the stone and hides her hand. But Kyle has sort of become that in the past couple of seasons. So I'm looking forward to not just Erica calling Kyle out, like all the girls being like, Kyle is the one that was kind of stirring it all up and putting Sutton up to it. So I would love to see, because, you know, Kyle is like the beloved because she's the OG, and it kind of seems like she's, you know, the princess of the cast. Like she can kind of get away with whatever. So right. I would love to see her be called out and held accountable.
Absolutely. And you know what? It's funny. I love when Kathy called her out for being the one that cooks the salmon. That was a
right.
First, that was the most accountability we got with Kyle is Kathy kind of calling her out, which I love. I love to
yes.
see that.
Yes. And then also to Rinna, you know, like, what is the deal? Yeah. Like, okay, Erica's your friend, quote unquote. What is the just this severe, you know, headstrong loyalty that she has for Erica? Like, what is that? Where's that coming from? Because I don't recall them being the besties, the best of buds any other season. It's like all of a sudden she's your ride or die.
I've never seen them have a genuine conversation. Have you? I've never seen them like have a heart to heart or like anything. It's just her being like, your daughters are beautiful. I love Delilah. Like that's the extent of their conversation. So I don't understand.
You know what? I feel like the editors could do them a favor and make us believe their friendship by filming some scenes of just the two of them. Like the two, they did that one little scene where they went Christmas shopping, but it was so like surface. Like they should have a scene where the two of them really like open up to one another and Erica really confides in Lisa Rinna. So I can believe that they are really truly friends.
Exactly, because she never cried on her shoulder. She cried on Kyle's shoulder, which is funny because then she kind of turned on her. But like,
it's
kind of odd. But yeah, I mean, with all of these dynamics, like with the housewives, like how do you think those like this all-stars is going to work? Because for me, I feel like it's just going to be too many personalities in one room. Like I don't know. I'm not sure if I'm going to love it. I mean, I'm going to watch it. But what are your thoughts?
Yeah, that's my thing. Like, because every housewife, for me, every franchise, they kind of argue differently. Like, their fights play out differently. Like, you're not going to have a fight on Atlanta the same. You could have the exact same argument on Atlanta, and then it'll be completely different in Beverly Hills or vice versa for Orange County. So I'm really wondering, like for instance, the one with Vicky, there's Vicky, Tamara, Brandy, and Phaedra. Like, how does that work? Like, how do you spar? Like, you know, because Phaedra can read somebody up and down, but then how does she spar against somebody like a Vicky that just like yells and screams at the top of her lungs whenever she gets upset? So I don't know how this is going to play. I mean, I'm definitely going to watch, but I'd be very curious to see because the standards are different. Like the expectations of a read, when I see somebody from a certain franchise, they're just different standards, you know? So I don't know. And I don't want to see them just all like get drunk and have a good time. That's boring.
Right. I don't want to see that either.
No, like I want to see the fighting.
I wonder, like, that's a great point because it's like, are they just going to have fun? And it's such a short amount of time. Like, I don't know if they're going for a weekend or a week. I'm not quite sure about the timeline. So how much time do these, because some of these people have never met, like some of these housewives. So I'm like, because they don't all know each other, right? So I'm like, is this going to work? Or I don't know. And then like, is Giselle on any of them? Cause I feel like Giselle's a good starter of drama, but I don't, I didn't see her on any of the lists. So I don't know.
Yeah. I didn't see her either.
Yeah. They need someone like her. They need someone like to kind of facilitate and create drama. But yeah, I don't know. I feel like it's just, it's a little, and then now with Winterhouse, I'm like, it just feels kind of gimmicky. And I love Bravo, but now it's starting to feel like you're just putting these random people together and being like, hook up, yell at each other. It's like, I don't know, it feels a little MTV to me, but I totally agree
because it's like it could either be really great, because to me seeing somebody like a Vicky go toe-to-toe with an OG from a different franchise sounds great in theory.
It does,
but when someone is an OG on their franchise, they're treated a certain way by their other cast members, and their dynamic is a certain way that works for that cast. And then I feel like either when they go toe-to-toe with someone from a different franchise, they're either going to shut down completely and not even do it, you know, because they don't feel comfortable. Or it's just going to become really clicky where it's like, okay, well, I'm going to stand up for the people on my show and we're going to be, you know, like, I don't know.
I agree with that. Like with Kenya and Cynthia, I'm like, is Kenya going to like defend Cynthia? Is Cynthia going to defend Kenya? I want everyone to kind of be on their own. Like, I wish it was more like Survivor. Where it's like everyone's on their own. Like you're on your own. Like you have to kind of defend yourself and like not be like you said, making clicks. Because I think that's just not going to be fun. And I don't know, for me, I'm like, I don't like when content is created just to fill a channel. And I feel like, okay, now we have Peacock. We got to put something there. So let's like kind of force it. And I really hope that the whole season is not going to be about you know, white fragility and then them being inappropriate and then Ramona being put in her place. Like, we already done that. Like, we did that on Roni. And, you know, Ebony was, like, perfect at doing that. Like, I was DMing with her and I was like, it's not your job to do this, but you did it. Like, you know, and and now with the reunion, like, I mean, you know, with, like, Roni not happening, the reunion, do you think it has something to do with kind of preserving? Because a lot of people online were saying it's Ramona and Luann's, they want to, like, kind of preserve them for the All-Stars. Like, do you think that's a real thing? What are your thoughts?
It sounds like it could be to me, because why else would they cancel it?
Because, why are they canceling a reunion? Like,
right, because everybody always knows that the reunions are sometimes better than the season. They're like the best parts of the season. And that would be the opportunity for Ramona and Luann to be held accountable and for Bravo to show where they stand on it. But if, but like you said, if they do that, then how are we then supposed to like want to watch them on yet another franchise? And it contradicts where, because then Bravo would then have employed them on another show.
Exactly. Exactly. I feel like they didn't complete their contract, because there's a lot of people that don't want to do a reunion. Like, I'm sure Erica didn't want to do it. There are housewives that didn't want to do it and they had to show up, like Danielle Staub. Like, they didn't want to be there, but like they showed up and they took the lashing and like that's part of the job. And, you know, I don't know, like, I just thought it was really weird that they were kind of let off the hook. And then Ebony had that amazing dress. I'm like, we didn't get to see the fashion. And like with, you know, Beverly Hills, the fashion is so bad. So I was like, sad that we don't get like the Roni fashion. And even if you love Leah or not, like, she's gonna give you a look, right? So that would have been fun. I don't know.
I felt really sad. It really, really upset me when I found out that it was canceled, because it's like you said, to me it just showed me, like, point blank period, who they're standing behind.
Exactly. Absolutely. And, you know? And they did that with Monique as well, with the fight. They kept saying these warning signs. And you know, I talked to Monique about this. She's like, it made it seem like I murdered someone on TV. And then you have Lisa Rinna breaking a glass and like wanting to stab her. Like, that seemed a lot more aggressive than what anything that Monique did. So I don't know. I just, Bravo's showing their ass. And, you know, Mariah, Nene, these people have all been saying it. And I hate to say it, because both of us, of course, are Bravo like fanatics. We love it. But we have to also acknowledge the fact that even in the space of talking about Bravo, where are the people of color, the queer people, the Persian people? Like, they're not a lot of us.
Right.
Like,
exactly.
You know, it's a lot of white gay men or white people talking about Bravo. So, like, I think it's really important. And then again, putting the, and this is a question I really wanted to ask you, because it's something that I think about a lot, you know, with putting Crystal on Beverly Hills or putting Tiffany in Dallas, or, you know, and I've talked to all of these people and it's like, you can't help but feel tokenized, right? And then you're a monolith. Absolutely. For your race. Like, and everyone being like, well, Ebony and Bershawn are so different. Well, yeah, because Black women are different. Like,
right,
you know, they have
right.
different needs and desires. Like, so I saw this tweet where, why didn't Bershawn talk about race relations? Well, maybe she doesn't want to do that. Like, that's her prerogative. So what are your thoughts about that? The whole monolith thing that Bravo does a lot.
That is my biggest problem with them casting these people of color on these shows, because it's they have to carry this. But like, I know for me, like, if I'm in a group of a setting where I'm the only brown person in the room, I want to be able to be as free, as chaotic, as unhinged, as drunk. I want to do all the crazy things that these other housewives get to have the luxury of doing without having to feel this responsibility that I have to not only teach them, but that I have to carry a certain weight of how to present myself. Like, because I am the lucky chosen one that they chose to be on the show. I think I heard Ebony, she said, a do-good Negro. I don't want to be a do-good Negro. I want to be bad. And I still want it to be I still want it to be okay. And I don't want to be held to a different standard. So I feel for these women when they're in these situations, because it's not fair. It's not fair then. Like, they don't get to go on the show and really be what the description of the show is when we look for housewives, we look for these women that, you know, on the outside, they have these aspirational lives, but the whole point is peeling back the veil and seeing the cracks and showing how they're human. So I'm not, these people that are people of color, they don't get the privilege of showing they're human. The part of them that makes them, for me, someone that I can relate to, the reason why I watch the housewives, you know, the nuances of these women, they don't get the privilege of doing that. And that's very unfortunate. Yeah. It's very unfortunate. No,
you don't get the privilege. And I love that you use the word privilege, because listen, I love Sonia, you know, she's a queen. But if Ebony was doing half the things that Sonia talking about pooping, talking the array of the townhouse, she would be decimated online for embarrassing the Black community. Absolutely. Blah, 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 blah. So, you know, it's like there is a privilege in that. And like, even me being Persian, yes, I'm white passing, but even being Persian and gay, a lot of times there's a lot of people will say things like if I, like you said, get drunk at an event or like at a boss being like, people like you can't act like that. Well, why? Mm. My coworkers who are white are getting drunk, having fun or whatever. Like, why can't I let loose? And, you know, she was like, you just can't. And I think that that privilege, a lot of people don't understand with Bravo because they're like, oh, it's just fun, whatever. Like, but like, even if you look at Below Deck, like the way Lexi's acting, a lot of people online are saying, oh my God, aggressive black woman. And I'm like, mm-hmm. no, she's just a bad person. And she's acting out because of, period. That's nothing to do with her being black. That's the thing. We need to separate the things. Like, if, but she's good TV though. Ramona, not a great person, great TV. Like, you have to separate these things. And this idea, and like, I mean, I've worked in Hollywood for 20 years, this idea that like celebrities or influencers or reality TV stars are good people needs to be checked. Like, we need to get rid of that.
Exactly.
Like,
absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, let's not do that.
I totally agree. And for you, even like with your name, it's like, I remember like, so my last name is African and my mom specifically did not give me an African first name because she didn't want me to have to deal with like even the racism that comes with just your name in general.
Yes, it
does. Even if you're like are a white passing person, your name is not white passing. So have you dealt with that where someone will like see your name as opposed to like how you actually look, or have you ever felt shame around your name, or that you know what I mean? Like, cause I know me growing up, I hated my last name because it was so non-American.
Oh yeah. No, I grew up in Orange County. I was, you know, one of maybe five people of color in the school. I mean, when 9/11 happened, you know, I was all of a sudden Amir the Muslim. Like, and before that, nobody knew anything about my religion, nor did they care. But it was just so funny. And like, you know, my dad's name is Jafar. My mom wears a headscarf. They have accents. Like, people would come to our house and be like, this is not what I expected your parents to look like. And I'm like, my name's Amir Hassan Yassari. It's pretty foreign. Like, it's pretty foreign, right? And like, even now, you know, I've changed my name to Amir Yass, but like, a lot of people still go, oh my God, like, where are you really from? You don't have an accent. I've heard people say, your English is so good. I'm like, I was born here, so that's why my English is good.
Right. Oh, it's, God, it's crazy.
Those microaggressions, you know, and even like, you know, I was talking to some of the people on Shaw's and they were like, even with that show, like, it's been on for so many seasons and like a lot of the, like, they don't have more than a million followers. Like, a lot of them, like, they've been on the show. Yeah. It's just so clear that like there is these microaggressions and there is racism that just exists in just Bravo. And I know a lot of people are like, well, it's just reality TV, but reality TV is really, it echoes like what's happening in the world. So it's really, really important. And I think that, you know, moments when we do talk about this stuff, and I have a lot of friends who are like, I don't want to talk about the, you know, the race stuff anymore. And I'm like, well, how about your white counterparts don't keep acting stupid? Mm-hmm. So we don't have to address it. Like, when you say things like I was at a dinner party yesterday and someone's mom was like, oh, I'm scared of Muslims. Well, do you want me to keep my mouth shut? Like, I got to say something. Like, I have got to say something. There was someone from Dallas, I'm not going to say who DM'd me and said, Muslims are so scary, but I love your content. Not a compliment.
Oh my gosh.
Not a compliment.
Oh my God. Wow. Yeah. And then the nerve to DM you that.
And then feel comfortable with that.
Oh, absolutely. That's what it is for me. Mm-hmm. is the comfort. It's like the nerve that they just flippantly say. But I want to point out also, I read an article that was talking about like, let's not even call them microaggressions anymore, because at this point, at where we are in the movement, it's a macroaggression. It's not a secret anymore. It's not nuanced. It's very clear on what is appropriate and what isn't. So to even call it micro makes it seem like it's like subtle. But it's like, no, it's very, people need to know that this is an obvious thing that we have all agreed across the board that is racist. You know what I mean?
Listen, I echo that 100%. And I have actually been saying that because I posted something with Lil Nas X getting interviewed by at the VMAs. And there was this kind of microaggression. It was a homophobic microaggression about what he was wearing. And she was like, well, I would never wear that, whatever. And when I posted it, a lot of people were like, no, this is not homophobia. You're reaching. I'm like, homophobia, racism is generally not like the F word, the N word. People are a little bit more like culturally sensitive. Like, they know they can be racist without fully going there. Like, it doesn't always mean like, I hate gay people. Like, it's it's a more subtle thing. And I think a lot of, and I get this a lot from my friends who are white men, especially white cisgendered men who are like, I mean, you guys are sensitive about everything. And I'm like, that's not true. It's just, we're actually able to speak up about it now. That's the difference.
Right. That's the difference.
That's a huge difference. And even with Ebony, like, people were like, all she does is get on that soapbox. And I'm like, she's not getting on the soapbox out of nowhere. She's reacting to what people, Ramona, Luann, are saying.
Absolutely. Like,
that's crazy. Absolutely. It's so funny. Even when you roll back the tape, it's crazy to me that people don't see it. I'm like, what tape are you watching? Like, it's just insane. Yeah.
Exactly. It's like nobody, like, I don't know any black friend that wants to do that. That wants to sit there and tell someone, oh, you're being racist. Like, you think that I want to, if I'm going out getting cocktails with you, I'm having a party. You think that's what I want to do?
No.
We like, don't that just blows in my mind that they think that she's choosing that. Like, of course, she would rather sit in a group of open-minded people that are aware of what's going on in the world right now. That would be her preference, and have intelligent conversations, not dealing with an idiot.
Exactly. And you saw that with her friends at the Black Sabbath that were like, they were shocked. Like, that's a real reaction. But Ebony knows that she can't just be shocked and say nothing. She understands the assignment. She has to speak up. Like, so it's so funny to me because people keep, I get a lot of these DMs. All you do is complain. Like, just accept what you have. You're verified. Get over it. And I'm like, what? Oh, like, I can still complain no matter what we have. Like, so it's crazy. But I'm happy that we were able to talk about that, because that was, I love that you know, you're taking up space, as I am, in a space that generally is not made for us, which I think is pretty powerful. Yeah.
Well, likewise. And I love this is what I liked about the Black Shabbat, is that it really showed that Ramona is a xenophobic, like, across the board. I was so grateful for that. It's like, just so y'all can see how fucked up this woman really is. It's not just about Black people. Is anybody different from her?
And that's the powerful thing.
I appreciated the Black Shabbat. So it's like, it actually brought us all together as the oppressed. Like, let's all get on the same side here. It's not Black against white. It's all of us against people like Ramona.
Well said. I absolutely agree. And I think that this idea that race is just Black or white is also very, and even within the Black community, within the Persian community, within the gay community, there's so many different variations to what makes you Black or Asian or gay. I mean, people don't understand that. And I think that that's what's really important. There's colorism in the Black community. There's so many, like, levels. I'm like, just read a book, please. That's all I ask.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely.
I love that topic, and I'm happy that we're addressing it. I want to ask you a kind of more lighter question, but if you were going to go on a deserted island with two housewives, who are you taking and why? I'd love to know.
Okay, so I'm taking Nene because I will never stop laughing.
Same.
And I know that for a fact, because I have never watched an episode of Atlanta where there's not at least one scene that Nene is in where I'm not laughing until my stomach hurts. Like, she makes me laugh so, and I think it's because I just get her. You know, certain people's sense of humor, it just resonates more with me. Like, I grew up in Georgia, so I just get her sense of humor, like her isms and her phrases and the way she speaks. Like, you know how people are all like saying, like, you know, her little scene, oh, not the white refrigerator, and now that's like in now on TikTok. That scene is from like, what, 10 years ago?
It's crazy. People like don't know about these scenes. Like, they get, even waking up in the morning when I posted that, nobody knew what it was.
And it's crazy.
People went crazy. It's so funny. It's old Bravo is like genius. It's crazy.
It's amazing. So she would be a number one, because I'm like, okay, I know that I will be entertained.
Yes.
And then I would probably say Heather, because the bitch is rich and she seems like she's like very organized. Like, she seems like if you're going to go on an island, she's going to have all the first aid kit. She's going to have all of the beverages, everything that you need. Like, she's married to a plastic surgeon. Like, you're just going to be good to go. Like, you're not going to be like camping. You're going to be glamping with her. So I feel like I would have the best chance at like having everything I need on that island with Heather.
Agreed.
And then I'll be entertained with Nene.
That's such a good answer. And
Heather Dubrow, not Heather from Salt Lake. Heather Dubrow.
No. We don't want Heather Gay, who knew that the business was unsavory and loves criminals. Heather, honey, what's going on, Heather?
Somebody is a good friend because y'all know the same rap songs. Like, come on. Can we have a better standard of a friend?
That's not a real friend. And she was going to come on the podcast and she said they won't let her because her mouth's too big. I'm like, yeah, that sounds about right. Sounds about right. Yeah.
Seriously.
No. Heather Dubrow, so I grew up in Orange County and I ran into her with her kids at like a kiosk in Newport Beach, and she laid out these toys and put two for each kid and said, convince me which one you should get. And I was like, this is some mommy training. I don't know. It was great.
Right?
I don't know. I loved it. Yeah. It was some mommy training.
I'm not mad at it.
I was like, this is good. I mean, she's not spoiling them. She could have bought them five toys. So I was impressed that she did that. Yeah, and she had a nice little Birkin and like a nice alligator, you know, $50,000 Birkin, and she could have bought him the whole kiosk. But I love that she had some standards and didn't do that. Didn't spoil the kids. I love that.
Definitely.
So are you watching Winter House? I can't even say it without laughing.
Yeah, I'm going to watch it.
Okay.
I don't know how much I'll get through, but I'm going to attempt it.
Okay. I don't know. The only thing I'm excited about is I want to see if Craig and Paige really have a spark. It's kind of all I really care about.
Yeah, and I like Sierra. Like, I want to see her, like, in a situation other than, like, dealing with Luke and his bullshit. Because I felt like he dragged her down last season. And people were, like, coming after her because they were, like, they didn't understand why she was so pissed at Luke, which I clearly got it. It's like, dude, I don't want to fuck you. So why are you mad about it? You're mad because I don't want you?
He's the definition of a fuckboy.
Literally, and he literally got mad at her because she rejected him.
He's disgusting. And he just unfollowed me last week. I was like, all right.
I can't stand him. And all the people that like Luke, they just like him because they want to fuck him.
Of course.
You know what I mean?
Listen, I'm all for, if you want to fuck someone you don't like, that's fine. I fuck people I don't respect or like.
Right.
The fact of the matter is, to stand behind him is a no for me.
Exactly. Yeah.
That is so funny. I mean, I'll probably watch it. I mean, I always say this kind of like these declarative statements. Like, I'm never going to. And then I'd start watching it. Like, I always say I'm not going to watch Million Dollar Listing. And then I always watch it. I'm like, why am I watching this? It just makes me feel poor. Yeah.
Bravo's like that, though. Like, you just end up like, if it sucks, I won't watch all of it. But I try to give stuff like one or two episodes because, you know, I hate when there's like a day. Like right now, there's nothing airing on Tuesday nights. Or Monday.
Well, I guess
Monday. But yeah, because, you know, we had, Below Deck. And then we had, what just ended on Tuesday? Roni.
Now
on Tuesday nights, I'm like, there's no Housewives. So then, you know, if Winter House just happened to be on, I'll just check it out just because I need something to watch.
Yeah, I gotta watch something. But oh my God, I wanted to ask you about this too. I totally forgot. Roni's little special they did. Was it as cringe for you as it was for me, the questions and the multiple choice? What's going on? Like, did you vibe with that? What was happening?
I didn't see that.
What? You didn't see? It was so cringe. It was like basically the episode, and then it would ask you multiple choice questions about what's going to happen next. It was so cringy.
Oh my God.
You have to watch it. You need to DM me and tell me what you think. Because then at the commercial break, it'd be like, not coming back. I'm like, wait, what? It felt like a spoof on itself. I was like, what's happening? It's really
weird.
Yeah, they were trying way too hard.
It was a show and then a question and answer for like the them watching the show or for the viewers?
No, it was for us to answer. Like, so basically what they would do is it was like never before seen clips like together. And then they would like, it would be like, oh, is Ramona going to like yell at Sonia or is Ramona going to yell at Luann? And it would like pause the scene. And then you would have to answer. It was just so cringe. Like I was just like, did anyone watch this? Like, I was shocked. I was like, nobody made fun of it. I was like, did anybody see this? It's really funny.
Yeah, anyway. I missed that one for sure. And I'm actually glad I missed it the way it sounds.
It was bad. It was really, really cringe. But yeah, just to wrap up, I wanted to ask you what your advice is to, because I get this DM a lot about people that are like, I love Bravo. I want to start a podcast. I want to like talk about it. Like, what's your advice? Because for me, it was just like, I kind of accidentally fell into it. I just kind of just started talking about it. And then I was like, oh, I guess other people love Bravo as well. Like, so what's your advice to people who want to kind of start getting into Bravo stuff?
I would say first have like very low expectations because some people get into this space and they just like take off. And then some people get into it and they have like 5,000 followers for 3 years and it doesn't grow at all. So I would say like, let it be something that you just like, and literally like you have to genuinely enjoy doing it because it'll be fun in the first 6 months. And then after that, the consistency is going to be a job.
Yes.
Like putting out your content regularly, promoting your content, scheduling guests and things like that. So I would say just make it something that you enjoy doing, like, and you need to enjoy the process, every stage of the process. Because I fight with that all the time because I don't enjoy every stage of the process of my content, what I do. Like, I enjoy the interaction with my followers. I love that aspect of it. But as far as like a lot of the behind the scenes, like the editing and all that stuff, like I'm like, oh, I could do without. I could really do without, you know? So
that's,
I would
a great
say just
answer.
Like, you know, just enjoy it and really love it. And because I think the thing that makes it work for a lot of people is that they have like other jobs that they do that they hate. Like, it'll be like, oh, they work in medical sales or they're a teacher and they just are drained by their job. So then the Bravo is like a nice relief for them to do that. So I would say make it like that, something that you really just enjoy the process.
Well said. I mean, that's a great answer because I think a lot of people are like, they want to do it like for a week and they're like, it should take off. Like, I've posted like for the last month a video every day on TikTok covering entertainment news. It's exhausting. It's a job. It's like you have to like find the content. And then if you missay someone's name, people are going to come for you. Like, so, and even with your captions, like I noticed your captions are like eloquent, and I do social media. So I was like reading, I was like, these are so pristine. So like, I know getting Thank that you. To flow so well and to be like, you know, so thoughtful, like that stuff takes a lot of work and people don't really give it a lot of credit. So I'm happy you said that. I really appreciate it.
Totally. Well, thank you. Yeah, I'm not, you totally get it. And it's, and another one of those things too, is like when we were saying like divorce yourself from the expectations, because you might have, and you know this, you have a video that you just think is going to be such a good video. Everyone's going to love it. And you get like a couple thousand views, and then you'll get another, do another video that you didn't think anything of it, and then it goes viral.
Exactly.
You know, so you just never know what people are going to connect to.
You never know. I posted waking up in the morning in January 20th, because like Trump was leaving office. It wasn't even supposed to take off. March 2020, all of a sudden my phone's blowing up, and then it became this huge thing. So you don't really know. That was 2 months later. So you don't really know when people are going to connect to things. So post it. If you love it, other people are going to love it. That's kind of how I've always done my content. It makes me laugh. Like I'll rewatch stuff and I'm like, that's funny. Obviously, like, I'm not, like, sitting there looking at my own content all day. I'm not crazy. But there are videos where I'm like, that was funny, and it, like, landed. And even if people don't like it, I like what I posted. So that's very important. I agree with
totally.
That.
And different things, because I remember, like, I remember following you when I saw when you were doing your, like, experience with different celebrities as a PR.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, that is what, that hooked me. Because, like, I was like, oh, this is juicy. Yes, give me the juicy tea. You know, and then other people might follow you for something else.
Exactly. And there's always multifacets to a personality. Like, you know, people will follow you because you're gay or like Persian, or they'll find other things that they really, or they like the tea, or, you know, and they know I'll spill the tea and I'm not scared of lawsuits and all that. So they know that. Anyways, I could talk to you all day. We have to get, you know, I know you're in LA, I think. So we got to get a drink sometime.
Yes, that'll be nice. Definitely. Yes, for sure.
Talk off, you know, offline, we can get even more messy. So it'll be nice. Tell us where people can follow you. Tell us, you know, your personal account as well as your Patreon, so everybody can kind of keep in touch.
Yes, so you can follow me on Instagram at The Bravo Breakdown. I'm also at Sasha Morfall if you want to keep up with me, with my acting, because I'm an actress. I post all the acting gigs that I have going on over there. And then you can subscribe to my Patreon at The Bravo Breakdown. So if you're on my Instagram, you see my short little, like, 3-minute videos. The long form version of those videos are available on my Patreon. Those are about like 25 minutes long. So it's like a full episode every week covering the shows, giving my hot takes, my point of view. One of my followers described it as like a weekly speech. I was like, oh, a speech. Oh. Okay, yes.
Okay.
I'll take that.
Okay.
So I give my Bravo speech over on Patreon.
I love that. Whoever said that, you need to patent that. I love it. With the lighting and your standing, I can see that. I can see the Bravo
right?
speech.
Right? It's
like
a speech.
I'm not mad at that. But I'm not going to let you leave without gassing you up a little bit. Because you said actress, honey. But no, Amazon show, Underground Railroad, she's in Rise. Like, she's not just like an actress, like an extra, honey. She's in it. I wanted to give you your full flowers before I let you go.
I appreciate this. Yes, you guys can watch The Underground Railroad on Amazon Prime. I'm in episode 1 and 2. And we shot that in Savannah, Georgia. So it's very, very close to like the actual historic storyline about the slavery. Like everything is very, very real. It's nominated for several Emmys. So you guys check that out on Amazon Prime.
I love it. And thanks again for being here. And you're always welcome to come back. We loved having you. So everyone, go follow
Sasha.
Thank you
so much.
Of course. Thank you so much. And I love that we got deep. We talked about health, but we also talked about race, which is so important. So thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks for listening to this episode of The Take On. The Take On is produced by Dori Berenstein and Alan Seals, edited by Kyle Moore, and is a proud member of the Broadway Podcast Network. You can find out more about me and The Take On at bpn.fm/thetakeon. And of course on my Instagram at Amir Yas Official. Yes, honey, we're official. Make sure to subscribe and rate The Take On wherever you stream your podcast, and keep tuning in for more amazing guests.
Hey, it's Leslie Odom Jr. here on the Broadway Podcast Network to tell you about the RISE Theater Directory, a program of Maestro Music. RISE is a national online resource designed to connect and empower backstage and administrative and creative theater professionals from underrepresented backgrounds. If you work or aspire to work in the theater community, this can help you find your next project. And if you hire theater professionals, search the Rise Theater Directory to find your next team. Create your profile now and get more information by visiting risetheater.org. That's theater with an RiseTheatre.org, because only together we rise.